Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Tom Fitzmaurice with the second course of The Food Show. It's our program of pleasure. Our pleasure also of all the great things that you can eat your way through New Orleans doing. And we invite you to do that. That's the whole idea of our program. We've been at this for 32 years. Hard to believe, but here we are. I'm here with Mary Ann, who hired me for this job back 30-something years ago. And we've had a lot of fun doing it ever since. We'd love for you to have some fun, too. Where have you been eating lately? We'd love to hear from you. 260-6368. 260-6368. If you were listening before the news, we had a truly winging out the back door and disrupting everything. A question that we couldn't get an answer to, and it was about a dish that had been created at Arno's actually before the time when Arno's had been taken over, still was owned by...
It was in its darkest days.
It was in its darkest days is exactly right, and it was in bad shape. And I went there, and it was so pathetic. I mean, it's very vivid in my mind. But they finally, it was sold to a guy who was very smart and who came in and redid it. But this dish has always rattled in my mind. And I couldn't at first remember the name of it, but during the news break, I did succeed in doing this.
And, we tore the place apart.
A little bit of applause here on that. Would you please? Thank you. Hello? Okay. All right. The name of the dish was...
Drum roll, Doug.
Yeah. The name of the dish was rock garnish. Oh wait, let me start over again. Rock Cornish game hen flambé a la twelfth night. That was it. Let's say it one more time, just for the heck of it. Rock Cornish.
Let's see if you can say it. Go ahead.
Rock Cornish game hen flambé a la 12th night. Mm-hmm. And to prove to you
that it was
absolutely for real, and their menu had some other things like this, I hold in my hand a little restaurant guide that was put out by Jack Duarte, who was
in... Good grief, Tom. Where do you get all this stuff?
He was... Jack Duarte is now an author of adventure...
novels.
Novels. Yeah, he's in California, been there a long time. Anyway, he was a pretty good friend of mine, and he wrote about restaurants a bit. I would say a lot of people would not exactly like the way he did it, but it was credible. And this thing came out in. Well, let me look.
It looks like a missal.
1976.
It looks like an old Catholic missal.
Kind of, it does. Yeah, it's the it's the fleur de lis.
Exactly the it's exactly the right size for a little missal.
Well, yeah. Okay, so it says down at the bottom here, specialties that we recommend. So here's Jack Duarte's own restaurant guide to prove that the one we just said does really exist, or did anyway. He recommended, number one, trout meunier. We knew that. Number two, French horn bread. That was that unusual kind of bread. They called it, there was another name for it. It was... That funny kind of bread, it had a...
Anybody, cornucopia?
No, if anybody remembers that old style kind of... It was like French bread, but it was more circular.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, number four, the dish that he recommended, which at that
drum
time...
Drum roll, Doug.
Which at that time did not appear on the menu, but they still had it. Rock Cornish game hen flambé. There it is. Right there on the menu.
Thank you, Doug.
I think I'm not kidding. You know, there we go.
Oh, my gosh. The pressure is now off.
Here's it. That's a picture of Jack.
It's like a pressure cooker. Well, we don't actually have a webcam, Tom, so only I can see that. And all I have to say is please put that away. It's a silly little book. No offense, but anyway, 206-3-6-8 is the number. I want to wait. I want to get to what I found while we were excavating the office.
One more second here.
Missile is back.
This little book came out for $2.95.
Really?
Guide.
I wouldn't have paid $2.95 for that.
Anyway. Guide to New Orleans cuisine and dining, and here's Jack Duarte.
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Now
and then. Oh, but over here in this corner, this is, who do you think? It was, no kidding.
Tom, there is no webcam here, so no one can see what you're doing.
It's
the only one that's interested is the dog panting alongside you.
It's Jimmy Brennan.
Ah, gosh, wow.
He worked for, well, he was
Yeah, he
one
was
of
good friends with him, yeah. I remember that. And they were actually in the wine business together, right? Yeah. Okay. Oh, Doug went and got Chef Andrea. Thank you, Doug.
Oh, that'll do it.
Hi, Chef. Thank you for saving us.
How are you, Marian?
Saving me, yeah.
What a beautiful, Marian Tom,
oh,
good afternoon.
What a beautiful morning.
Absolutely.
Well, welcome to the show. Hey, did you enjoy that event on Friday with the thunder and the
Thursday.
Rain? Thursday, sorry, not last week.
Oh, man, it was unbelievable.
Yeah, it was quite a party. This was being put on.
It was a shame. Beautiful party. Beautiful party, but unfortunately this year it was a disaster. Yeah, they should have done it before. You know, they should have done something. They knew the rain was going to come, and poor guys out there.
Yeah, oh, well.
All the vendors, you know, all the restaurants got soaking wet, and but finally they made the decision we're inside. But anyhow, it still was a great party, and
it was a good party. Yeah,
it's a wonderful. So we're glad to see you there, and it's a good cause for the children, and I'm glad the money stays here. You know, and it's really wonderful. So a lot of people, a lot of wonderful people, great people, great wines. By the way, there was some good wine this time. And
Speaking of wines, did you bring back wine or did you just do your harvest and now the wine is being made for this year for your personal label?
I got last year just came in, our private label, as you know. I make my own wine. And we just got the wine in the 21st, 24th of September. From last year, the harvest from last year. So this year, when we went this year, we did harvest the grapes, so it's going to be for next year. And was a great year, good vintage. So people, by the way, they love the red wine, they love the white wine. We got a lot of successful response, and it's unique, as you know, in New Orleans, in Louisiana, because I'm the only one, as far as I know, restaurateur here in Louisiana, make own wine that we serve to our guests here for lunch and dinner, breakfast if they want. And there's really wonderful Falanghina, which is a beautiful, crispy white wine. It's a light color we call Pagliarino. Pagliarino is like a hazy straw, but just ace color. Good finishing, nice apple cider, really wonderful, wonderful white wine for New Orleans. It's perfect.
Yeah.
And
uh-huh.
Then the red wine is 100% Pieri Rosso. Pieri Rosso is a wonderful grapes of wine that goes on in that region, like Campania region. It's a very small but very rich volcanic soil, and we make this Ionico wine, and it's absolutely, mamma mia, outstanding. I gave it to some the other night to a guest, and they said, oh, my God, where can I buy a bottle? I said, well, you can buy it right here in Andrea, because it's only in Andrea. We don't sell nowhere else, you know, in the store, because that's not that much.
But you can get it there, right? You can have it there?
Here in Andrea, yeah. Only in Andrea.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But not in the store. It's not in the store. You know,
right.
Like Dorniag, Martin Wintella, Zupardo, all the major stores like Rouse's, nothing like that.
Yeah.
So just here in Andrea. So it's a very, very unique boutique wine, and I recommend very highly. If you come the way it does suggest, we'll share my day, but I should also recommend to taste a little bit and see if you like, because really a lot of people say, wow.
It is good. It's really good.
Hey, can I stop you for a second here?
Sure.
Just to get some useful information for everybody listening to us now, what do you plan for the week? I know you always have special menus going on.
We do.
And I just thought I would jump the gun here and have you tell us what you have planned for lunches or dinners or brunch or whatever it is, because I know you do all of that.
Every day we do all the special as far as all the food in season. We serve it, Andrea. Right now, this giving him the eggplant is so beautiful. We have a wonderful eggplant pumpkin cheese soup. It's really one of our guests' favorite. And then the other one, we make our own pasta, everything fresh from scratch every day. We make this wonderful tortellini. It's a tortellini, as you know, it's like a head from the monk priest, you know. And it's a really nice, wonderful shape of pasta. We toss it together with a little touch dry shallots, a little touch of garlic, and saute with the prosciutto di parma from Italy, a little touch of the peas, and we lightly saute a little touch of white wine, and then when a little touch, we're going to separate it with a little touch of cream, and toss the tortellini cooked, that's all, and then toss together a little touch of Parmigiano Reggiano import from Italy, and serve it. It's really a nice, wonderful, great dish. But if you don't like capriccio sauce, we do the meat sauce. It goes very well with that, too. Bolognese, salsa alla bolognese. Mm-hmm. And then this time of year, I like a nice, wonderful pork shank osso buco, which is a wonderful hind shank of the pork, lightly braised and cooked in orange juice. And we serve with a great homemade fresh pasta angelier. And then, of course, Tom, as you know, Mary and we have a wonderful rotisserie. It will make this good, great, great, wonderful, crispy, crispy duck, maple leaf duck on the spit in our rotisserie. And we serve with a great orange sauce, a la orange, mm-hmm. because right now this season in my backyard, I have two trees, orange trees. They are full of oranges. Mm. And I used to make the sauce. So I brought salsa lemon the other day. I brought some wonderful lemon for my tree. They're nice and going beautiful, ripened it. And also I have a lot of grapefruit this time of the year on my backyard in the house. So here, not far from here in Madrid, I've been living here for about 43 years since I came in town. My first place was off Bonneville, and then I bought my house in here. And then, of course, we have many other dishes like the great veal.
Can I ask you about a couple more? Because we've been talking about this morning, and we thought you in particular would be interested in this. You ever get squab in the restaurant?
Squab?
Pigeon?
Yes, I did it, and I was getting before, but unfortunately, not too many people go for squab.
Yeah, and, no, I love it. It's my favorite
bird. Oh, I do, too.
Bird.
I love squab. And the same thing with pheasants.
Next thing I was going to ask you, whether you ever got pheasant. But that's always
December, I usually feature for the special menu we do at Andrea. Also, don't forget, we have also this year, Reveillon menu. We are in Reveillon this year. We do some special for Reveillon menu. So, but I'm definitely going to have pheasant this year. The squab is... Not too many people, I think, the guests.
I know. I keep thinking that, you know, we used to have two or three chefs who were usually young chefs, and they would put it on the menu, and you'd see it a few times, and then you'd never see it again.
No, but if somebody listening right now, a lot of people listening, you show Tom and Marion, I would definitely, if they call me and say, Andrea, well, I'm going to come this weekend or the following week, give me some time that I'm going to get to the square, I cook for you. The same thing with the sweetbread, the same thing with anything they want, the beef Wellington, whatever they like, it takes a little time, tripe, anything they want, I love to do it. As you know, for a bit, 30 years, 5 years, a year.
Because your home is our home.
Yeah. We have some requests always, the guests ask it, but if you give me plenty of time, I'd love to do it for my pets.
His home is our home.
Yeah. Well, all of this is at Andrea's, and it's all really true. Go tell him you want to talk to him.
It is really true.
And you know, ask him some embarrassing questions, too, like, what's the deal on that Rat Fink Tom Fitzmaurice?
What about Long Island Duckling? The Long Island Duckling, Tom.
Ask for the Long Island Duckling, folks, but only
because
if
we only
have
serve
a strong
Long Island
stomach.
Duckling.
Yeah, only.
We have a lot of connoisseurs around the world.
All of this is
again.
At Andrea's. And every day, lunch and dinner, 7 days a week.
The duck is superior. Really, really great.
834-8583.
And Andrea, 834-8583. Tom and Marion, Molte grazie. Ciao, arrivederci a tutti. My home is
yours. Goodbye, Andrea. Thank you.
Arrivederci. Ciao, Bella.
This is Tom Fitzmaurice. Great to be here with you talking about my favorite subject, eating, drinking, restaurants, cooking, wine, kitty cats.
It's been a bizarro show. Kind of a bizarro show.
You think so?
Yes, I want to say what I found in our excavation of this studio while you were looking for your 12th night Arno's squab. I was looking through the menus for, you've got like a stash of old menus, which would be fun to just kind of go through one time.
Yeah.
It actually would take much more than one time. But anyway, you have a whole desk drawer full of old menus, and I found one from Mama Leone's.
Ah, you know about Mama Leone's?
We went there.
When I was at Rummel High School.
Yeah, I would imagine that would be the kind of place
we
you
went
would go.
To New York.
Yeah.
It was our senior trip, and one of the places we made was put together by one of the brothers who said he knew everything. What he knew about was huge piles of lobster and spaghetti and meatballs right there in the middle of Manhattan.
Now, do you think, okay, so Mama Leone's is gone now.
Yep.
What was the name of that restaurant critic that wrote that scathing, scathing review of Mama Leone's about it being like a soap?
Oh, Richard
Collins.
Was that
Seymour Britschke?
It may
was
well
that,
have been.
Yes, and it was just this savage, it was funny, but it was savagely nasty.
Well, it was a much revered.
It's a different time then.
In those days, but it was over really. It was an old timey restaurant.
Right, let me look at when the years for it were. The menu. I'm going to look at the menu because it's big. First of all, it's really big.
Huge with the.
I remember
these neon signs covering the place.
So when did it? When did it go? When did it pass into? Nostalgia. When did it become?
I don't know. I've never
1906,
really.
1906, Tom.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait.
I was around since 1906.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That in New York, that's nothing.
My goodness. Well, no, that's never nothing. Anyway, I'm trying to figure out when the last year for Mama Leone's was. If anybody knows, give us a call, 260-63. Are you going to find it right now?
I'm going to find it for you right now.
Well, I like the menu. The menu is a gigantic thing, and does it celebrate all the regions of Italy? Because according to this, I see this is when we really do need a webcam, because both of us are looking at interesting things here. And it's very, it's very 70s, I have to say. It probably didn't last too long past the 80s, right? Like the mid-80s or something. It probably went out then. Anyway, Mama Leone's. Anybody ever go to Mama Leone's?
Yeah,
give us a call, 260-6368. What are your recollections of it?
Do you have a pencil?
No. Why? You have a pencil?
Yeah,
why?
I do, but I'm not going to be able to remember this.
Okay, go ahead. Okay, I'll write it down. What
you
is
ready?
It?
It's, yeah. It's easy. I mean, and it's interesting, too. 515.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry. Make that 159.
Okay.
233.
Uh-huh.
34. Pick one of those, and it's
159-233-34.
Yeah.
Okay, what is that?
There's an article here. Let's just go to one of them. What was it?
So these are pages like 159, 233, or 34?
Yeah.
Okay. That's a nice book. Who is that? That's a pretty book.
There it is. That's Mama Leone's right there.
Uh-huh.
And,
who wrote that book? It's too bad. We need a webcam.
Do you think
the station would spring for a webcam? And we really don't. You really don't want a webcam in the studio, folks.
Give me another
159. This is fascinating, isn't it, folks? 159,
yeah.
233, and 34.
233. Okay.
Yeah, I think that's how I'm supposed to decipher the numerals that you have given me, Tom. 159 and page 233 and 234 is my guess.
233? Was that one of them?
Yes, 233 and 34.
Okay, I'm almost
and this
there.
Is like, oh, this is, you know, this is like, this book looks like it's your Extinct Restaurants of New Orleans book, only it's for New York City. It's for New York City. I like yours better. Yours has got a little more character to it, I would say.
Almost there.
But this is kind of a fascinating looking book. I have to have a look at that at some point. 260-6368. This is riveting, isn't it, folks? We were talking about pheasants is how we got on this, and then Cornish game hens. And here we are now just leafing through a big book looking for something, and I'm not even sure what it is.
There's got to be an article about Mama Leone.
Who is that? Oh, it's Arthur Schwartz.
Schwartz.
I thought Arthur Schwartz was a whole lot older looking than that.
I don't know if that's
who
him.
Who is
yeah,
that?
That is him.
That Arthur Schwartz?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Because he's kind of youngish.
This came out in...
I thought, isn't Arthur Schwartz like Mr. Food? Was that the Mr. Food?
I think that's the word he used.
A much older man than that.
He is definitely an older guy.
Well, that looks like a fairly new book.
It is a new book, and it's a nice book, too. And the people who persuaded me into publishing my own cookbook.
Yeah. Oh, that's Tabori and Chang?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they...
That's a nice book. I'm going to have to look at that at some point. Yeah. Anyway, we got on this because we were talking about pheasants and other game birds. This is, if you're just tuning in, give us a chance. It's been a rough show. But we started talking about, first of all, Emeril, because it's his birthday today, and what shows Emeril had on the Food Network, and at what point in his career, and his television career, I think is not current. I mean, I don't know. I could be wrong, because, like I said, I never did follow it. But he did at one point have a television sitcom that was short-lived. So I was wondering what the names of Emeril's television shows were along his career. Tom has now ceased to be part of this show. So riveted is he by this book. He's just sitting there reading
Stephen
a book.
Stephen is here. Stephen, welcome to the Food Show.
Stephen, are you still with your mama?
No, I'm back.
Oh, gosh, that was a
quick
trip. How is she?
5 days with her. She's fine.
Good.
You're adjusting well to being in assisted living.
Uh-huh.
There's lots of little white-haired ladies around her that she, you know, and she goes to music every day
or bingo.
And I love
bingo.
She goes to exercise class 3 days a week. And so I did get her. They have all the ladies on walkers, and I'm not especially crazy about that. So she spent more time on a cane rather than a walker.
Uh-huh.
So,
how old is she? How old
92,
is she, Steven?
Almost 93.
Uh-huh.
January. Okay. So.
All right. Well, I'm glad she's doing well.
Yeah. Okay.
You've been missed on the show. I guess you have a really long list now.
Not really.
No.
I like radishes. And believe it or not, I can eat about, let's say, 10 radishes, and I don't want dinner.
Yeah, I can see that.
It's a way to eat. You know, the radishes these days seem to be much bigger than they were when I was a kid.
Yes,
and
They're pink now, when they used to be much redder, it seems like.
I don't know. I seem to have gotten red ones at Walmart and Robert's. And also I wanted to talk about squab. My great grandfather cooks.
I wish you could
squab.
Talk to Tom about squab, but he has dumped out of the show. He's sitting here in his chair with his headset on, but he is no longer part of the show. He's completely got his head into the Arthur Schwartz book.
You're just not listening.
One time went to Andrea's and got squab, but it was too overcooked, so I don't know. But my great-grandfather had a pigeon poop in the backyard.
Uh-huh. Did he eat them?
Yes, he loved them. That was his favorite food. And he had a gardener chauffeur pigeon man. And they had a big barn. I don't think the pigeons ever left the barn, but the babies were separated. And of course, this guy that was the chauffeur and gardener, I mean, my grandfather had a I think they, when he died, they sold the lot off in the back that was his garden, and they built 8 houses where his garden was. So it was a whole town block of garden, and everything was fresh. I mean, it, his cook would sit on the front porch and see my grandfather, my great grandfather, making the corner 4 blocks away, and she'd scream back to John Henry to bring the corn in, and he would peel the corn as he was walking in, and she'd have the water boiling already. So,
that's fresh corn.
Fresh. Yeah.
Wow.
Or she'd be sitting on the front door porch peeling limas or peas or whatever the green vegetable of the day was.
Gosh, so, Stephen, if you grew up eating food that fresh, how can you eat regular food now?
Well, it's a little hard, and you know. And then on top of that, as I grew up, my mother was a fairly good cook, but she was a doctor, so she didn't. But we had Amish maids.
Ah.
There was an Amish community in my town, and the girls that hadn't been signed up to get married.
Oh yeah, you told us this story before. Yes.
Was, you know, so I mean, they made homemade rolls every day and everything. And we actually bought a lot of our meat and chickens from the Amish. She would, you know, we would order the meat, and her father would butcher the stuff and have it. So, I mean, it was all fresh meat.
Yeah.
Talk about matter of fact, I don't know whether I've told you this story, but my father worked on the Apollo spacesuits, and the astronauts had to come in for fittings, and if they put on 5 pounds, they'd have to redo the suits. So Dad would bring the astronauts home. So, I mean, there were astronauts in our house on a regular basis, all during the Apollo.
What, to put them on a diet or something?
Oh, no, because, you know, the town was not all that big, and they didn't have any really nice restaurants, so our house had, you know, an Amish cook and my mother. So, you know, whatever went on, it was better food at our house than it was in any restaurant.
Yeah, I would imagine, for sure. You know, when my daughter and I were up in that Amish area, you could drive just a couple of blocks and there'd be another little farm stand with really great stuff with the Amish serving it there.
I was just up there. I didn't buy anything because I was carrying on luggage, and I, in the past, have had them bring back jelly in my carry-on, and they made me dump it out. I mean, and this time they went in, and, you know, the lady didn't want, I had insulin with me, and I had those plastic refrigerators, freezer things, and she said I couldn't take it on the airplane. I said, well, you better get a supervisor over here because there is insulin that needs to be kept cold. So, I had itty-bitty Coke, half-size Cokes in the bag.
Tom has a solution for this, Stephen. You know what it is? Do you know what Tom's solution to this would be?
Tell me. I don't know myself. What?
Tom's solution to this would be take the train.
Oh, yeah, that's it. You need to take the train.
That's Tom's solution
to
everything.
He knows that already.
But my flight from Philly to New Orleans was only $78. And the train would be $1,000.
Yeah, that's about right.
Tom doesn't care about details like that. Yeah. He really doesn't. These are insignificant details. Although Amtrak did have a great sale recently.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, so, Stephen. Are you down
like
to the bottom
time.
Of your list?
You were listening to the food show.
That's it.
All right, welcome back. We've managed to yank the Arthur Schwartz book out of Tom's hands. So if you would like to talk to him, he is now again participating in the show.
Beg your pardon?
260-6368 is the number. But it has been a bizarro kind of show.
Well, but it's been entertaining with a lot of unusual things.
A lot of unusual things.
And little
that
bits of
sure.
history yes. to you know, around New Orleans.
Okay.
We do this a lot.
So tell me about Shom.
I know nothing about it. I saw it. Let's see what it says.
Go back to your book then, Tom.
No, I mean, you can't know everything. Chaume, which is, that's a French word.
It's a cheese. It's a cow's
yeah,
milk
you
cheese
read it. You
from
read it.
Southwest France in the area of Périgord.
Périgord.
It is a semi-soft cheese in the monastery style, which is to say that it has been a washed rind and an interior that ripens into a very assertive flavor. So in other words, it's a stinky cheese.
Ah, that's right. You don't like
when
stinky cheese?
When it gets overripe, it can become bitter, oh, delicious, with base components, which some people enjoy. It's for palates that enjoy, there you go, that enjoy stinky cheeses. Chaume comes in a flattened disc with an orange exterior and a creamy yellow interior. If you eat this one with wine, make the wine a big red.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds wonderful to me.
Yeah.
You know, this brings up an interesting question. At
you
least
like
it does to
stinky cheese?
Me.
No.
No. Well, I love stinky cheese. I
you
like
do.
Cheese, period.
Right. That's
but,
right.
But, you know, it's not uncommon, although not really often enough.
Occurring, too.
Occurring, thank you. That cheese as a course. There was a time when there certain restaurants around town, I remember particularly
some of
Christians,
them probably still do that. I think you can get cheese at Justine for a course.
I'm sure, and that's what you want to look for is a French
mm-hmm.
Bistro style restaurant. There's
yeah.
plenty of those around mm-hmm. New Orleans, so that's no big deal. But the but then getting into it, and you find out that it comes with it goes with the bread, it goes with the wine.
What, stinky cheese?
Yeah, whatever you've got, pretty much. It's hard to make a mistake at it. And I think we could do better to eat more cheese. I think we'd enjoy it.
Well, I think that there's you don't have to. Is there anybody out there, and I'm really curious about this, is there anybody out there who doesn't like cheese?
I'm sure there are some people, but what do they know?
I think it would be really interesting to hear from somebody like
all right.
that. 260-6368 is the number.
Yeah, if you don't like cheese,
I'm not talking about stinky cheese. I'm talking about
just, in general,
just any
cheese.
Kind of cheese, because I can't imagine. I can't imagine that, because it's, I don't eat stinky cheese, but cheese is just about one of the most pleasurable things in the world. And I can't imagine someone that would taste cheese and say, you know what, I just don't like this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to eat this. Because there's a cheese for every palate out there. There's the milder cheese. There's the stinky cheese. And there are millions of cheeses in between.
Yeah, blue cheeses.
Well, those are stronger. I could see somebody saying that they don't like blue cheese because it's a strong flavor. But I can't imagine someone saying, I don't like Beecher Flagship, or I don't like Vermont White Cheddar, or I don't like, you know, just basic yellow cheddar that you can get at any supermarket.
Mm-hmm.
That's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, it's getting to be that a lot of grocery stores have quite a selection of cheeses, and there are some that are just okay, but they're still a lot better okay than they used to be, say, 10 years ago.
It's almost like saying I don't like butter. I mean, butter couldn't possibly offend anyone, could it? Hi, Gregory.
Gregory, welcome to the Food Show.
Hey. Hey, Marianne. Hello. Hello.
Hey.
Yeah. Hello, Tom. How are you guys?
Hello. I'm.
I don't think is this isn't our regular Gregory, is it?
No, it's Gregory. I'm on a different phone. I'm on a work phone. Uh oh. I'm sneaking. I'm sneaking
it's
around.
It's a subdued Gregory. Hello, Gregory.
I had to get on about the cheese. You know who still puts on? Well, I guess I don't know. It's not really a cheese course, but I remember as a kid the Roosevelt having a cheese course at their big dinners at the Sazerac. Mm-hmm. That was really kind of weird because I wasn't into cheese then. This is a long time ago. But now, I mean, you can go to Cafe des Gars and they got great cheese boards. And
they
even
do.
In Napoleon,
they're very French, though.
Yeah, very, very, very,
very
French. Kind of bare and a little brie, and then they got this stuff and that stuff. The stinkier the better, I say.
Okay.
Yeah,
well,
I'd go with that.
You guys go
I like
have
it
some
before my
cheese.
Meal, believe it or not. I don't like it, like, I might have a soup or maybe a salad, and then the cheese course, and then the entree. Does that make any sense?
Now, that's where we part
company.
Company.
What?
No, I think cheese at the beginning of a meal is a bad idea. Personally, just from a taste perspective, but not my bag. But a lot of people do it, so you know if you like.
Yeah.
You like.
Well, usually it's mixed with some meat, there'll be some salsons and some cheese. You know, so it's not like it's not a cheese board. What would you call that? A charcuterie, I guess, is what I was thinking of.
Yeah.
But I know that I'm thinking of Louis the 16th again, which was a big deal over there. I was thinking of Napoleon House, and I'm thinking of the only two places that I know that put out a good presentation are those two places, Café des Gars and the Napoleon House, believe it or not. And not
I think
really...
you can get cheese at the end of a meal at Justine, but I could be wrong.
Oh, well, yeah, you could be right there, too. Anyway. So,
they have a good little cheese pile at Aquistapace. Nice little cheese basket.
Well, they have a whole cheese cave at Aquistapace. I could spend a whole year there and not even... And I thought I knew something about cheeses. I've been up there in Covington, and that place is amazing. It really is. That's an education in just a few hours, actually. And believe me, I've been around the world. That's a pretty good spot they have up there.
Well,
you guys, where did y'all have lunch today, then?
Let's see. We went to New Orleans.
Food and Spirits.
Food and Spirits.
Oh, the one in Bucktown?
In Covington. In Covington.
Okay. Oh,
there's
so
one on the West Bank, and there's one on the
right,
in Bucktown.
Right. Well, the one on Hammond Highway in Bucktown is a very popular. I just figured you
very
guys have been
popular,
there. Very
popular, always.
So you guys stayed on the other side of the lake. I gotcha.
Yeah, right. We're over here most of the time. Yeah.
I know that. I have to commute, which is a pain in the butt. But I do like New Orleans Wine and Spirits. I think it's an underrated place. It really is a lot of fun. And the guys that are running
it's good.
Like
it's really good food.
Oh, he's the chef and the owner, and he's a really good guy.
He really is a good guy. Very good guy.
Let's see. I was thinking about something else, but I can't think of it now.
I know the feeling.
Well, anyway, I just wanted to pipe in about cheese. I think the world needs more cheese.
I
agree. I can't imagine. Do you know anyone that doesn't eat cheese, Gregory?
Very few people. Some people, they have these new diseases, lactose intolerant. I don't buy that, I don't know.
Well, there are people who still eat it, because it's good.
I think they really used to be cheese eaters, but now they got doctors scaring them from eating cheese now. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion.
You could wind up being afraid to eat anything. True.
Yeah, you could be afraid of eating anything. I like natural yeast. I mean, where would we be without yeast and bacteria? These parents today don't let their kids play in the mud and the dirt like my parents let us play in. That's why I don't have any allergies. I'm telling you. They got all
either
these...
that or that's where you don't have any friends, although I do think you
have
some.
No. I mean, all of us grew up, playing on the lakefront and getting in the dirt and jumping in the lake and even in some of the canals. I mean, we have immunity. I mean, I have no allergies whatsoever. And I see more and more generations of kids growing up because their parents have sheltered them. Oh, you mustn't do that. And then they got antibacterial soap and oh, no. Well, for crying out loud, my parents just said, let them go have fun. And we ran out the door. We weren't inside playing video games like these kids are today. I'm sorry. We just weren't. No.
You guys
That's
sound
just
like
me.
I was about to say you sound like old geezers, but then.
I'm not that old. I'm only 57, I mean.
Tom's not, but he is anyway.
All right. Listen, I can't wait to see you guys at the Boudin Bourbon and Beer Festival this year. I hope you're going to be there.
Yeah, when is it? What's
November 8th, Tom.
Oh, gosh, that's around the corner.
I know. That's why I wanted to remind you.
All right.
It's going to be fun.
Thank you. All right.
So long, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you. See ya.
260-6368. You know, we just kind of ignored that for all these years.
What?
I met Mario Batali there once, and I was so underwhelmed, I'm still repressing it.
Well, there were a few pictures of, and a few reports on him.
Yeah. That wasn't my problem with him. He's just a jerk.
Well, anyway.
260-6368.
That event, which raises all kind of money for all kinds of...
Speaking of Emerald, isn't that Emerald, his event?
That's his event.
Yeah.
And it's bourbon... Wait a minute. Bourbon,
beer, Boudin. Boudin,
right.
Bourbon, and beer, I think. Something like that.
I
haven't been in a long time.
Yeah.
I haven't been to that since it was in the Warehouse District. Is it still in the Warehouse District?
I think so, yeah. It was right around the corner from Emerald's, in fact.
Yeah.
And I remember the first night that occurred, there was, let's see, it was the main singer for, oh, gosh.
Oh, I'm worn out, Tom. I can't help you. I'm worn out today.
Well, it happens. Now, let's see. He was...
After the Cornish hen flambé or whatever it is, I'm just worn out. Are you still, do they still have that on the menu, by the way? Because I know you used to have to go to Arno's on Twelfth Night because of that dish.
Oh, yeah.
And then you passed into a different phase where that you were letting that one go. We still had prom night and those other things, but you were letting the Twelfth Night Cornish hen go.
Oh, what a shame.
Yeah.
But then
again, you haven't done that in a while, right?
No, I haven't.
Yeah,
I haven't, but it's you know, things change.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Anyway, 260-6368. Let's go back to your almanac. There's not much in your almanac today. It's kind of a I find that you know when you need it, it's just not there. And sometimes there's just so much.
There you go.
It.
Why is this little fidget here? This whole little report. Why is it very well liked along the Gulf Coast when you want to have a sandwich?
I don't have – oh, because it's WLOX.
Very good. Well done.
Well, lox is not a sandwich. It's just a –
Well, it winds up that way.
It's just a salmon thing.
I wonder why – well, it's in Biloxi.
That's
so
cold
that's
smoked, right?
Cold smoked.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. No, that's what they're talking about is
what's the difference in cold smoked and hot smoked?
Cold smoked,
I guess heat, but anyway.
You put it up in a smoker where the temperature is only like 50
is this
degrees.
Cold smoked?
Cold smoked.
Uh-huh.
And then hot smoked or you know whatever you call it. That the temperature actually gets up into the 200 range.
Well, if it's cold smoked, how do you smoke it? Does it just absorb the flavor from being in a small space with smoke?
You can have real smoking going on with the pit running just at about 175 degrees. It's not enough to cook it.
So it's not really cooked.
It's not really cooked.
Which is why I never eat it. Okay,
well,
so it's not
life.
Really cooked.
I mean, it is cured also, and I don't think that there's any problem with it. You know,
well, I mean, I hope not. A lot of people eat it, so.
Well, yeah, yeah.
And then hot smoking is when it's actually
has been smoked,
cooked and smoked.
Yeah, and it's the
smoke. I find it a little stringy if it's cold smoked. Do you?
I like cold smoked better than I like not so smoked.
So you like the cold smoked better than the regular smoked salmon.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just the opposite. I like it the other way because I feel like I need to have it cooked.
Yeah.
There anyway, Julia Child said the only time to eat diet food is while you are waiting for the steak to cook.
She has a lot of quotable quotes there.
Yes. Well, she's Julia Child. She'd better.
She better. My favorite. This wasn't much of a joke, but it was pretty impressive. It was Julia Child at a dinner that was taking place in the Royal Sonesta Hotel at the time, and the chef at the time was making a new dish. It was pretty interesting. It was a take on Oysters Rockefeller, and it was made with a custard instead of with the breadcrumbs and all the other stuff that you'd get in a regular Oysters Bienville.
What do you mean a custard?
Okay, so if you can imagine.
Custard's like a dessert.
Yeah, but imagine this, no sweet. It's just pure
Oysters Rockefeller?
Yeah. And then you bake them in the oven, just like you would bake the
regular.
And then you would bake it until it would set up, and then you would just eat it from that point. So it had all the elements of an Oysters Rockefeller, plus, as an extra thing, was this custard underneath. And Julia Child said, oh, my goodness, this is very good. Not maybe a little bit better than I did. But anyway, she was raving about it. She thought it was a great idea and had been executed very well. And then she continued with the dinner. She never said another word about the food to the end of the dinner. So apparently you made it.
What does that mean? What would one conclude from that?
That
was the
that
only
she
good
thought,
thing in the dinner?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what I took
And who
away
were the
from.
Who were the chefs cooking the dinner?
I don't know where they are anymore. If they were at the Royal Sonesta at that time, but I don't think they're there now.
Huh. Interesting.
So, it was it was a great evening, and it was wonderful to meet her. And all the things you've ever heard about her, like, for example, she is really tall. I mean, standing next to her, you feel like you're about to play a basketball game or something.
Yeah.
She's very well liked, with good reason. She was charming as could be.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Julia Child, in case you're just joining us.
All right. So if you're just joining us, don't bother.
Yeah. New Orleans, here's how it goes.
Words to drink by. Quote, I had been able to observe that there was a sprightly sportsman behind the counter mixing things out of bottles and stirring them up in long glasses that seemed to have ice in them, and the urge came upon me to see more of this man.
Yeah?
Yeah. That is a quote from Bertie Wooster from P.G. Wodehouse, who was born today in 1881. I don't understand Brit humor.
It's not so much him as that other guy who has that British humor, whose name I can't remember.
Remember when we were in London and they had that show about the devil on?
The devil?
It was our first time in London, and it was late in the evening, and there was this show on the telly.
Uh-huh.
And it was
That's
this,
where it would be, all right.
And it was this guy who was dressed up like the devil.
Oh,
and he
was
walking
ridiculous.
Around on the street, and he was doing all of these hilariously devilish things to people. It was kind of like our candid camera, only the guy was literally wearing a devil suit. And he was being devilishly
funny.
Naughty,
yeah.
And you were supposed to just watch what would happen when he would come in and do these devilishly naughty things. And that was our first introduction into British humor in Britain.
It's unique.
It absolutely is. There is no two ways about it. Anyway, I don't understand P.G. Wodehouse either. What is the name of that series? It's a whole series, isn't it?
It's a long series.
And what is it? What's the actual name of the series?
I ought to know that, but I don't. Somebody must be listening to it.
I don't know if anybody's listening.
Well, I don't know.
I have serious doubts at this point.
Everybody
I'll look it up and
says
see.
This, and then
I'll
it turns out we have
see.
A lot of people listening.
Yeah. Somebody sent me a consoling email once saying, you know, when you think no one's listening, they really are, and it's just so interesting, and I'm thinking, wow, okay.
Yeah, well, you never know.
Yeah, okay. So I'm looking at P.G. Wodehouse now, and let's see what the name of the series is.
Yeah, I had a girlfriend, believe it or not, a long time ago, who was nuts about those.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
For you?
Yeah. P.G. Wodehouse.
Yeah, Mr. Jeeves, wasn't it? Jeeves?
Mr. Jeeves, yeah, Jeeves. That was the name of the butler, and he always managed to work his way in and save
everything.
Everything, yeah, to keep disaster from.
But wasn't like two people something in Jeeves?
There was Jeeves
and Wooster. Was it Wooster and Jeeves?
I can't remember.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
I wish
okay.
We had the time to. to get back to that, but that's another. I mean, here we are at the end.
Yes, it was a slugfest this time, folks.
I don't know. I thought it was entertaining.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, I'm not going to give the phone number because we are out of time.
We
so
are,
I hope I hope everyone has a wonderful evening. Find a good meal tonight.
It's only Tuesday, but you can find something.
Yeah.
You just got to look.
Tuesday's the day that a lot of places that were closed on Monday reopen. Like, I think Trey Inn is only open for dinner on Tuesdays. So, not that, you know, I'm just throwing that out there because I thought about it earlier today. All right. That's it for us for the evening.
Yep.
We will be back tomorrow. Have a good meal, and we'll try to do that too. Good night. Right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.